Welcome to Clarity in Real Time, where we explore how to access, sustain, and leverage inner clarity to build and scale businesses truly aligned with our values and goals. I'm your host, Dane Ellen Archer. Everyone, I'm here today with Lorena Palazzo, and her inner clarity and her way to inner clarity is through untaming, which is her undoing of her conditioning as a woman. She's born and raised in Australia by Italian parents, and she's a single mom of a gorgeous 13-year-old daughter and has been helping young women and retirees since 2008 to stay in tune with their purpose through untaming their conditioning as women. And I'm curious, Lorena, what is untaming? What is this?
I know. What is it? Well, how the hell did we get tamed to begin with, right? So untaming and taming is a language that I use instead of the language of conditioning. But essentially, it's that. And conditioning here is ways in which we have participated in taking on conditioning, either because we thought there was no other option, or we decided that it's better to stop being ourselves on some level and play a certain other type of game with ourselves. So that's conditioning. And so that's what I would call taming. And untaming is the work of, for a woman in particular, to be able to welcome the ways in which she is conditioned, the ways she's taken on her like family heritage of conditioning, the way her peers have conditioned her, the way society holds women and females just in general, which is, you know, the biggie. And untaming would mean her decision to take a look at that and meet her conditioning, become interested and invested in untaming that conditioning, like making her own choices around what stays and what goes within her conditioned sense of female self.
As I'm hearing that, I'm thinking about a lot of the challenges that I ran up against in myself as I stepped into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. How I had a lot of imagined limiting beliefs and boundaries and that sort of thing that came up and were things that I had to work with. I'm curious, is that an angle that shows up for you when you work with women?
Absolutely. It's one of the bigger ones, actually. And I'm just going to talk freely here and unabashedly because I'm in my untamed self. And for women, right now, as it stands, when a woman decides to go into the career and purpose culture, she is having to meet herself as a female entering into a patriarchal system. It isn't a system necessarily designed for females. So in her world, she is going to take on her education. She's going to take on her the way she holds her body, the way she speaks, the way she dresses through the lens of that. And that's where a lot of women meet what I would say distortion. They're going for what they think they want. They want to be powerful women in career and in purpose. And they're finding that they have to condition, leave behind, not allow certain parts of themselves to take on that purpose. So I don't know if this is answering your question, but that's something I find with women often.
Yeah, to me, it's a version of, like, I know in my experience, I became more masculine. I took on more masculine traits in order to have the success that I wanted.
Right.
And in that, I felt a lot of my femininity started to be judged in my own system as wrong or not good or bad or something. And I was actually not welcoming all of myself.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, and it definitely stalled me out in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Is that something you see with other women?
Yeah, that stalling out is something I see a lot of. And I would call that they stall out because of this distortion. And I think females are managing often a lot of distortion about how to fully welcome all themselves to the table, all their wisdom, all their knowledge, all their sense of personality and expression. If they're making that decision that some of that's not okay or a lot of that's not allowed, there'll be this distortion that happens. And I would say that it's going to show up with women stalling out with women competing against women, with women trying to outcompete men, et cetera, so forth.
Yeah, all of that lands with me. And I'm curious, how did you get to this place?
How did I get here? do I tell the long story or the short story? In becoming this type of female for myself, it has not been a journey of a straight line. I would say that I had the good fortune of coming into a body of work about 11 years ago that really assisted me to actually own and express more of my female. And I became a coach for relationship, for couples, for men, for women. And as I was doing this body of work and also becoming a coach in this realm of relational awareness, I noticed my attention would go a lot to the woman, either in the relationship or to women I was working with. I would notice this distortion. They had this like sense of confusion about them. And so I would say, how did I get here? Through just meeting my own distortion by continuing the training of this body of work that I was in and by becoming a coach for relationship and women and just applying it back to myself and noticing the differences right away.
So you saw it not only in this work that you were reading or researching, mm-hmm. you also started to notice it in yourself and then in your clients as well. Mm-hmm. What were some of the distortions? Can you expand a little around distortion?
I would love to. I think a distortion that comes from a woman who is taming herself is that she will control and manage and manipulate a lot of her life without actually tracking why that's necessary or where that's coming from. So externally, she's going to be controlling her environment, managing everyone's experience, and manipulating either really kind of blatantly or covertly to get a certain set of needs met. She's going to be tired and dull, angry and resentful, like sharp, super sharp and resentful, or she's going to be quiet and checked out on the way to depression. And then when her husband or partner, maybe she's in a lesbian relationship or whether she's in a heteronormative relationship, whatever it is, whenever the partner comes with needs or when the partner comes with desires, that'll be the time when she first feels something. And that's when she'll get really in touch with, oh my God, I haven't put any of my needs on my table. I've been out here managing this. And so the distortion just kind of works her in such a way where she doesn't trust, where she doesn't reveal, where she doesn't ask for her needs, where she doesn't think she's important enough, et cetera, and so forth.
It's almost like a version of shutting down in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it could be shutting down. I guess it's always a shutdown, perhaps, of some sort. For some women, the distortion can be really loud, where they're just really aggressive and angry and big in the room and, you know, never satisfied and never happy. And then for another woman, it could be meek and quiet and subservient and on the way to depression. Yeah.
I imagine it would be so difficult to follow your dreams or build anything that you wanted from this place.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Or if you did build something, it actually wouldn't truly align with what you wanted.
Most of the times, that's the case right there.
Most of the times.
Yeah. So now they might be in a relationship that's not working and also misaligned in career and purpose and just suffering dreadfully behind it all, you know. And it would be that woman, however she's suffering in whatever that distortion is, that might, you know, take on the sexual advances from her boss or something because it might mean more money. She might not know how to say no to something that seems often weird because she's just so used to taking it on. She's just so living in her distorted taming.
Right? Almost as if she's on a version of an autopilot or not truly like saying yes or no clearly to herself, something like that.
Something like that, correct. Again, there's that version. And then I would say, even on the automatic pilot, what it can look like is she seems like she knows where she's going. She's like the loudest one in the room. you know, she seems like she owns her body. It's a very tricky level of distortion that women will live in around not trusting themselves.
You seem incredibly passionate about this to me.
Yeah,
I'm noticing that you just seem to light up as we talk about this. I'm wondering if this was you. Were you the loud woman in the room, or were you experiencing this?
No, it was the other one. I was the one that was managing and controlling and manipulating life to get a certain set of needs met without seeming needy, without seeming loud. I was more seeming amiable and mutable and fitting in. I was always, always trying to fit in. That's definitely a big part of my old distortion. And then when a partner or somebody whose needs all of a sudden trumped mine or trumped everything that was happening, I would feel all the resentment and the hardness of my life. So, yeah, I was that type.
Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the old type, I think. Does that mean you're never there anymore?
What's rarely, that like? Rarely, yeah.
Rarely?
Rarely.
How did you go from all the time to rarely?
You know, I started to realize whilst doing my own female work and then putting myself in the front seat with other women, especially in relationship, I just started to see this distortion over and over again. I was like, oh, fuck, there it is there. And she's doing a version of what I just did, or I just did a version of what she's just doing. And I just kept linking the dots. And so when a woman takes on the conditioning that she's not enough, or she's too something, she's too loud, she's too big, she's either not enough or too something, which is one of the two main conditionings that society and families and culture tend to work with when it comes to females, she will take that on and distort her reality from that place. So when I started to see that conditioning, I started to get very interested in that. I was like, oh, I remember being this very rambunctious and wild and woolly child, you know, and I was often told, stop that, you'll get in trouble, be careful, girls don't do that, behave, you're too this, you're too not, you're too clumsy, you're too loud, you know. So I took on the diminish. I started to mute myself, and I started to believe the story that as a female, I needed to be a certain way here to fit in.
I think I'm getting a little bit of an idea of why you're so passionate about this.
Say more.
Yeah, to me it seems like if I imagine myself in your shoes taking that on and then being free of it,
mm-hmm.
to me it would feel almost, I think, intoxicating or just so good in my system.
Yeah.
I'm curious, is that true for you?
It is true for me. It is very true for me. And so what I want to make really clear here is that when a woman is diminishing her too muchness, she might find other ways to like off gas that. And so I think that's another style of distortion for a woman. If she thinks she's too much out here, then she's going to try and be too much somewhere else, covertly, privately. And, you know, that can lead her into all kinds of strife, feeling like she needs to feel passion or desired by men and women. She might make wrong choices. She might need to feel deep senses of validation somehow. And then that'll cloud her ability to make right relationship choices and right work choices and et cetera. And then it's supporting that woman from like coming out of that distortion and coming back to her essence, and also loading her up with the tools that keep her relatable in the world, right? So then to be able to own her bigness by owning and revealing, by using responsible communication, by knowing how to have hard conversations. My favorite part of what I do with women is I help them welcome their distortion. I help them move back to their untamed self. And then I love to just load them up with tons of tools that allow them to stay really present to themselves and in the world.
I get excited thinking about more women out there like that. I imagine more businesses aligned with what they truly want, and that fires me up.
Right.
And we've touched on your coaching practice, but it's almost as if you're creating like a cultural movement here.
That's very true. Yeah, there's always the one-on-one work that I will do with women, or the group work that I will do with women, but I'm creating culture. You know, I'm birthing a culture here of like, what might it be like if we as women support each other's untaming? Because one of the greatest conditionings we do as women is we hold ourselves back. We're coming from old paradigms of scarcity and sort of that sort of reptilian fear brain. And, you know, we're jealous and competitive with each other, which is a byproduct of a patriarchal system, right? So really supporting the culture of women to know themselves in this untamed place and start to move in the world is what I'm fucking dedicated to. 100%.
Yeah. Your whole body's leaning forward. Yeah. Lit up. You're moving a lot.
Slamming the table.
So this seems big to me, and it also seems slightly inviting of a lot of criticism. I'm wondering how you stay the purpose on this, because I imagine you get a lot of flack or resistance or something.
Nothing yet. No flack yet.
No? No?
No.
So that would be my conditioning coming up right there.
Yeah,
right?
I get curious, even with you right now, what had you think that? Like, what might be your conditioning there?
Yeah, I think there's been experiences in my past where me doing what I wanted wasn't necessarily, in my opinion, welcomed out there. Some of you know that I worked as a licensed electrician. Uh-huh. And I did that at places like the South Pole, literally Antarctica.
Right.
Well, it was an amazing experience. For me, there was moments where I certainly wasn't welcoming my femininity, because I imagined danger by being too feminine, or that it wasn't welcome.
Yeah.
And that could have been all in me. It mm-hmm. most certainly could have. Yeah. I don't know. So maybe that's where that came from. I'm not sure.
Could be. Like, I mean, I want to make some things really clear here. When I talk about a culture and when I talk about untaming, what I'm not promoting is a monotoned feminine female. Hell no. I have no idea what you would look like tapping into your untaming. That's for you to have. That's going to be as equal to your thumbprint as anything. In fact, it probably is. It needs to come from how you exist inside of yourself and how willing you are to meet your conditioning. And some conditioning, especially in my world, stays. But my preference is that I meet my condition and I have choice about what stays and what goes.
Can you say more about how you notice your conditioning and when it shows up? Like, I'm thinking expansion, like it seems like you're building this big thing. Mm-hmm. I imagine that would be ripe territory for conditioning to show up. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it does, right? I mean, when you and I were having our interview the other day, I was about to do like a Facebook Live and just an intro to Untaming. And I think I said to you, I was like, God, even today, as I go towards my Facebook Live, I start to fear, what if women don't like this? What if they don't want to untame? What if men don't want untamed women in the world? You know, I feel the fear of that part of me that could start to diminish and be like, you know, how about I just fit in? How about I just don't do the Facebook Live? You know, it's like just right there. I could literally tap into that conditioning and go, yeah, you're right, you know, just diminish. And I won't, right? Because I've now met that conditioning. I know where it comes from. I know how it has helped me. And that's the thing about conditioning, is that once you get interested in it, once you invest in looking into it, you can always see why it's existed, how it's existed, the goodness that it's brought, and how it's just not working right now, or it needs a reframe, or it needs to be held differently or valued differently. So when I meet that conditioning, I'm like, oh, I know where that's coming from. I'm feeling scared in the world, and this conditioning is my protector. It's come in and it's, you know, it's made me small, so I'll feel safe. Well, I don't need that anymore.
It just seems so firm. You don't need that anymore.
I don't need that anymore. Now that I know that it happens, I can face it and I can say, no, that's okay. Well, okay, here, if flack happens, flack happens. If someone has a beef with me, bring it on. What I'm not is I'm not an anti-man campaigner, and I'm not here to tell you what your fucking female self looks like.
Yeah. I like that.
If you are a female suffering in the world from all this contorted distortion, come and see me, sweetheart, because I will help you untame yourself and I will give you the tools that you need to find yourself as a true untamed female in a system that needs to change for females.
I see such confidence and inspiration in your words and your way of being here. I'm wondering if you could share with us a last nugget or a want you would have for any of the other entrepreneurial women who are out there for them to take home from listening to this podcast.
I think I would want them to know two things. One is that whatever they're stepping into, whatever purpose they're creating, will bring up opportunities for them to really meet their taming and make the choice to untame, right? And I would want them to make peace with that and to welcome that and to recognize that that is a part of their purpose and to ask for help, to have a female tribe, to have a women's group. I would want them to know that, that they can get support, not just entrepreneurial, but as their female goes through the process of stepping into her purpose, you know.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing your experience and story with us here today.
So welcome.
But if listeners would like to connect more with Lorena, they can check her out at lorenapalazzo.com. And you'll see that in the show notes, as well as she is running an open monthly call where anyone can join who would like to learn more about untaming and what that looks like for them. I want to thank you for listening today and investing your energy and building your access to clarity on demand in real time through recognizing today potential conditioning or not in your world.
Thank you for being with us today. I'm Daniela Narker, and it is my belief that people leading lives and businesses clearly aligned with their values and goals is a level up for all of us. Learn more about how to apply clarity practices in your life at daniela.com. This has been Clarity in Real Time. See you next episode.